take the roll, please?
Sure. Grollo?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
Nimitz?
Here.
Walters?
Present.
Leonard?
Here.
Tubbs?
Here.
Oh, except for Matthew Cook. He's absent.
Well,
and I think
more on that in a minute.
Okay, you're going to do that? Okay. Is there any conflict of interest with respect to the agenda this evening that we need to report on? Okay, hearing none. And I've just got one addition to the agenda. If we will put under other business at the end of the meeting a resolution regarding the meeting dates for 2018. So with that addition, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Also move to approve the agenda with the addition of the meeting dates approval at the end of, what's the date, November 7th, 2017.
Second. Been moved by Commissioner Nimitz with support by Commissioner Leonard to approve tonight's agenda with the addition of the resolution regarding meeting dates. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The agenda is approved. We next need to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of October 3rd, 2017. Are there any corrections or revisions that we need to make to the minutes of that? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Grollo with support by Commissioner Henschel to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of October 3rd, 2017. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. Is there any one that would like to make any comment this evening on any topic that's not on our agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move to reports. Township Board Report. Mindy.
Just a couple things. We had a public hearing on short-term rentals, and it was very interesting that majority of the people that were in the audience for short-term rentals were completely against short-term rentals, and it was a completely different group than what we've seen for the last year. They were all from 31 Munson area versus the Lakes area. There were only two from the Lakes area. It was a really very different group of people that were here to comment. We've been working on the budget, and Rick, are you going to talk about Easttown at all or not?
I could, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a bunch of stuff that happened since that meeting, so.
I didn't have it on here, but I could. Sure.
Okay. I'll let you cover it then.
20 minutes.
Then I'll cover it. Go ahead.
I vote for who's ever more succinct.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from Mindy? Appeals Board Report, Ted.
We had one appeal in the Lakes area again. It was approved for a covered deck within the 50-foot setback.
And you have another one next week.
I have a question. We said like sheds could be like 16.5, right? From the water?
It wouldn't be
16 feet? What is that? It's something like that.
No, I think it
was it 16 even?
But that hasn't been
all right, 16 before. Even. When we kind of did that variance, I kind of thought, I mean, isn't that going to block the neighbor's view being that close, like 15? Isn't it 15.1 feet from, am I reading this right, from the ordinary high water mark?
I wasn't there. I don't
okay.
know.
Well, that's what it says.
It's in there.
It says resulting in variance in a 15.1 inch setback from the ordinary. Yeah.
Oh no! This was a
what was
attached,
this? Okay.
An attached already there deck that they wanted to cover.
Right.
And of course they always want a little bit more.
Okay. So how close was this to the water then?
It is 16 feet to the water, but it's like this down, and they're up on the hill. It's not going to affect the neighbors at all. The neighbors are built right the same
That's spot. Even closer than a shed, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but the house probably was closer than
right, the whole
was allowed
house
in the first place
the
anyhow.
The 50-foot setback because mm-hmm. it's an older...
And the deck was already too
and
close.
The deck was there. Everything. The only thing we did was we did allow them to make the deck just a little bit wider because, I don't know, they had some issues with the width because of getting wheelchairs and stuff too, or something. I don't remember, you remember what it was? Something like
they're
that.
They're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
Oh.
But if you had seen it, we made sure that they had to get some approval from the Drain Commission to make sure they had some way to. And right now they have nothing to mitigate the water running off the roof.
Oh, yeah.
So this would be an improvement.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Any other questions for Ted? Okay. Planner's report, Rick.
Before we take a break midway through the report, I'll go through the first. we have the next newsletter that's coming out from the township will include two articles. One of them is being written by me called Greetings from the Beach District that talks about the ongoing efforts along the Lake Michigan Lakeshore. And then Leslie's writing one about junk and pride of place as well. And so those will both be in the next one. Mm. Hers was very well written, I thought. More.
So is his.
Mine was more detailed. Hers was more well written, I think. So, the supervisor, the township planner, myself, and former Commissioner Cook attended a three-hour class on capital improvements programs put on by Michigan Association of Planning back on October 19th. So how long has it been since you've been to New Orleans?
That was a good one.
And it was a very interesting session on capital improvements programs. I said former Commissioner Cook because he submitted his resignation yesterday. He was just hired in the last week or two as the deputy county administrator for Antrim County, and their meeting nights happen to be the same nights as ours. So somehow or another, they're more important than us, and so he's not going to be attending. So we'll be looking for a new candidate, and if anybody has suggestions, please email them along. I also attended another Michigan Association of Planning session on October 18th that was held at Earth and Ales. It was kind of interesting. Earth and Ales is a brew pub over in the Commons, Grand Traverse Commons, but it was started by two former planners who both had their master's in planning from the University of Michigan. And so it was kind of interesting. They were presenting their viewpoints from being planners to being business owners, and how they tried to instill some of their planning ethics and knowledge into their business operation, sustainability, recycling, things like that as well. It was very interesting. And yes, there was and then I also went to I was invited recently to be on the Beta's Bayline Steering Committee. Their Bayline is a planned route that would run from Grand Traverse Commons on the west and Munson to NMC on the east and have 15-minute frequency throughout the day, 5:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And the steering committee is made up of about 12 of us from the community. And one of the good things is that they're very open to the idea during the summer extending it through the beach district out to as far east as Cherry Tree Inn. So we'll have 15-minute frequency of bus service during mid-June to Labor Day weekend available starting July of next year. And they're doing this with money that they got through the millage, and they'll be using 4 buses during the non-summer months and 6 buses during the summer months to ensure that 15-minute frequency, and there'll be multiple stops. And the hoped goal, the steering committee at least recommended this, that it would be free service. So get people out of their cars and knock down the amount of traffic downtown during big events and reduce the needed number of parking spaces. So then we've had 2 beach district team meetings in October, one on the 11th and the other on the 30th. We purchased 6 domain names for the Beach District through GoDaddy that we hope to use and provide access for people to link into the website, either through the township one or a freestanding one, but we wanted to get them while they were available. We have also contacted the State Historic Preservation Office because the footbridge is 51 years old, which means it potentially is eligible for historic status, particularly if you use any federal funding. But in talking with them, if we just use local and or donated funds, we may not have to worry about that. There hasn't been a formal historic study done out there, and it only really applies if you're using federal funding. Because the hope is to put lighting on the footbridge to make it more visible and perhaps signage on it saying welcome to the Beach District along that steel beam along the bottom on both directions.
Has it been tested for lead-based paint?
Sorry?
Has it been tested for lead-based paint?
Not that I know of. I would be surprised if it has. Like Mindy said, the Township Board did hold their hearing on short-term rentals in October. They hope to have a work session on that topic only. We've been trying to set up dates and getting people's schedules together over the holiday season has been a little tough. The last I saw was maybe mid-December. If that doesn't work, then we're probably looking into early January. There were 3 safe routes to school walking audits held in October for each of the schools that hadn't had one done yet. Grand Traverse Academy had one done a while back, so for the 3 schools over here. I attended one of them. Beth attended one, and I think Leslie attended one, didn't you?
No, it got rained out.
Oh, it got rained out. And then they did it at another date where she couldn't attend. They're planning to have a forum on November 16th at Grand Traverse Academy to discuss the findings of these audits. It starts at 6:30 p.m. and I think goes for about an hour, so I'm sure they'd be thrilled if anybody wanted to show up and find out what they learned. If you've noticed going through the building looks kind of barren and repainted in a few places. It's in the process of most of the rooms are getting repainted, and new carpeting will be going in much that direction, not necessarily in this room. Planning is also going to be moving, and zoning is moving across the hall to where assessing currently is, so we're going to be swapping locations with them. So we'll be across the hall probably 2 or 3 weeks from now before that occurs. On the agenda, there's a couple things that Leslie listed right under the planning and zoning update I wanted to go over real quick. Sign ordinance update. If you all remember, about a year or so ago, we had some attempts at getting together for some webinars on changes to sign laws with the Supreme Court decision Reed versus Gilbert, Arizona. We had the first one we got together, and about a half hour in, the webinar crashed, and we had another date set, and only I was there. And Leslie, I think, was there too. So we're going to be planning to bring something, now that we've gotten through short-term rentals and all that, we're going to bring something to the Planning Commission in December to talk about. It's not for public hearing or anything like that. It's more a draft to look at and discuss the issues related to that Supreme Court case and then try to get some things cleaned up in the existing ordinance and or modified. But mostly it's related to getting the wording that would violate that decision out of there. So we hope to bring that to you in December. I sort of gave you a Beach District update already. In terms of urban ag, I don't know how many of you looked at that document that Mr. Newman sent us after last month's meeting, but that sample zoning ordinance is 51 pages long, and that's just on ag. Now, granted, that includes comments in it, so once you take the comments out, it probably drops to half that length, but still 20 or 25 pages just on urban ag seem like a bit much. It's kind of Leslie and my feeling that that would be awfully unwieldy and not very user-friendly. And frankly, I think it will complicate our zoning and enforcement process, particularly the part where it talks about commercial. I mean, it could be a commercial agricultural use. They don't really make a good distinction between that and a commercial use, you know, like a restaurant or something like that. And I think we might open Pandora's box if we go that route to what they're talking about in their draft. It also is very clear that our current ordinance of chickens is probably indefensible, where we specify individual zoning districts where you can have four chickens. It's one thing to say, to say they're allowed in residential districts. It's another thing to say these specific ones. If you're saying it's okay in LDR and then you say it isn't okay in MDR, that's going to probably run afoul. Bad pun. That was actually a baseball pun. With the Right to Farm Act and the GAMPs. It's another thing, you know, we don't necessarily have to allow them in commercial districts and things like that because that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. And then there's the GAMPs about, you know, number of dwellings and X number of feet and things like that. But our suggestion is either we don't enforce those specific residential districts in day-to-day application or we take the reference to specific districts out of there. Separate of that, the whole thing that kind of stirred this issue up in the first place was the beekeeping. And beekeeping is even more confusing in the fact that they're not classified as livestock in the GAMPs. However, there's a whole separate set of GAMPs that are created for them. So you don't class them as livestock, but then you create GAMPs for them. Which are generally accepted agricultural management practices. And then if you apply the Category 4 GAMP applications to them, the one that was requested to us there in Canterbury Woods wouldn't qualify because it has far more homes in the distance or in the radius than is allowed in that in the GAMPS regulations for site selection for beekeeping. So we're kind of unsure where to proceed other than seeking input from you on whether we should still look into beekeeping solely. We don't think we should go beyond that, or discard that idea for now and go back to reactivate the enforcement procedures that we had originally started on the beekeeping. You know, they've been held in check since they asked the Planning Commission and staff to look into it. So, what, 3 months? Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 months. So if we don't do something specific to beekeeping, that particular location, based on the site selection criteria in Category 4 GAMPS, is a violation. So, food for thought. Yes?
So, technically speaking, there's already rules in place.
Not East Bay Township rules.
There are
generally accepted agricultural management practice rules that are in place for mm-hmm. site selection. Yes, the frustrating contradiction is they have these site selection rules for GAMPs, but they give criteria for beekeeping. Then the regulations don't consider beekeeping livestock. So they contradict themselves, you know, and that makes it hard to apply. And when I said something to Mr. Newman in an email, I said, you know, this is quite frustrating because we get varied answers from different parts of the Right to Farm Act and the GAMPS, and he said, welcome to the world of Right to Farm. So he realizes that it's a giant pain to tackle and enforce, and it almost has to be done on a case-by-case basis.
So in this instance, the people that came and asked, according to the GAMPS, they're set there, they could not, they're in violation of the GAMPS.
According to the site selection regulations, they are. But the fact that bees are not considered livestock, one could argue, no, we're not. So you get contradictory parts there that...
You're the attorney.
And I'm still trying to work it through. I'm still not understanding the whole interplay. Sometimes I think I've got it, and then, you know, maybe a week or two goes by, and I've forgotten what I think I had. Because the whole idea, I think, with GAMPS is that if you are a agricultural use and you are within the GAMPS, then basically nobody can say, hey, you know, you're creating a nuisance. And
right, it's to protect
and, the nuisance. Yep, and so, you know, I want to abate the nuisance, and I want you to stop doing what you're doing. And, hey, I've been doing it all along, and I'm applying... You know, complying with GAMPS, and therefore, no, you can't do that. You can't stop me from farming. Mm-hmm. So that's one side is how I see it. I think what we're looking at is whether or not some people in the township can have a limited number of various forms of livestock, whether it be for chickens or whether it be honeybees, not necessarily livestock, and things like that. And so it seems like, yeah, we ought to be able to say you can do it as long as you're within the ordinance that allows you to do it, so you don't have more than four, if that's what the limit is, and that GAMPS doesn't necessarily apply. So it seems...
It's not farming, it's hobby.
So it seems to me is that we could have an ordinance that's limited to what people in the township could have if they wanted to have four chickens in their backyard, that it would allow that to happen.
If somebody came to us and said they are a farmer and they can prove it by showing us the GAMPS, but other than that, that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with hobby. Somebody that wants to hobby, have a couple of chickens.
Agriculture-like is the word there.
L-I-K-E. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily saying we should or we shouldn't, but it seems to me that we could if the majority wanted to and the township board approved it.
It's not the impression I got going through.
Yeah,
the sample ordinance he sent and some of the commentary that's in there. I went through that and I go, holy cromoly, this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, the other option is just pointing to the GAMPS.
Yeah. Maybe we should consult a real attorney. I mean, an attorney.
I won't let that bother me.
Are you saying that we didn't consult an attorney on the chickens?
We did on the chickens.
Same thing as the chickens.
Yeah, I sort of turn to you because I think you've had some thoughts in this whole process, and maybe you understand it better than I do, and it sounds like, and Ted, because it sounds like Ted and I have the same understanding, I think. But
yeah, I'm kind of with Rick on this, and the fact that I'd rather refer them to, like, that individual situation to the NDA to look into. If they are pursuing and they don't want to be a hobby, they want to be a farm, and they're in a residential area, then refer them to the MDA and we get out of the way and let them do their investigation.
But it seems like if it's not an existing agricultural operation, that you couldn't, I mean, I suppose if you did it and it created a nuisance to the neighbors because the rooster is crowing at 5:30 in the morning or whatever, and so on, like, you know, then I think the neighbors could say you're creating a nuisance, and you need to stop. And the GAMPS wouldn't protect them. That's sure. The way I read it.
Or they would if they went through all of their hoops and could prove that they were.
regardless of what
the township said.
District are in.
Says how close they can be to other homes.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't have somebody complaining because the rooster's crowing because they'd be far enough away. That's what the GAMS is all about. This is for people that are here already, that live in a neighborhood and they want to have a chicken or they want to have a bees. That's what we do. That's zoning.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Farm Act.
I'm just gonna, at the end. I can't right now. Just we're going to keep the order that we do it. But at the end, we do invite public comment on anything we've had a discussion. So I invite you to have a conversation at the end. So
if anybody who really came to us and said, "Well, I can farm because I have the right to farm," then you say, "Get your GAMS out and prove it to us." And if you can prove it, then we can't stop them, right?
So I guess.
But meanwhile, we can.
The issue to me a little bit is: do we, as a township, say that we're going to allow certain things in some districts, or not?
And if it,
pardon?
We already have.
Hmm?
We have a chicken ordinance.
Right, but from what I read and from what Mr. Newman said, I don't think we can specify specific residential districts.
So what you're saying is it has to be all residential districts.
Hmm?
In other words, it has to be worded all residential districts.
I don't even think Mr. Newman is involved in this. We're talking about planning and zoning, not farming, not GAMS. If it gets to that, then Mr.
Yeah.
Newman has
My question a little bit is that I don't know the answer to that one. I mean, I'm still struggling with that one. My thought here is do we as a township say, yes, we'd like to allow beekeeping, chickens, whatever, and if the majority says yes, then let's figure, then to me it's like, let's go back to the drawing board and okay. Can we in fact do it? If we say, you know what, let's not even go there, let's not allow it any more than we do now, or let's take it out of there, and that's what the majority says, then I don't know that we have to go back to the drawing board to see whether we can do it or not.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So to me it would be sort of a straw poll as to whether we should proceed to continue to explore whether or not we should have some ordinance that would allow for beekeeping and or other things that we don't allow for. So with that, I mean, what's the general feeling?
Well, you know my feeling.
Is to say yes, to allow it if...
Yeah, continue with what we're already doing with the chickens.
Well, right now we allow chickens and that's it.
That's it.
So would your thought be leave it at chickens?
No, I think that we should approach each resident as they come in and look at it. And instead of opening up the board to try and beat them all to it, if they come and ask for it, work it out.
Ask
and
for
so
what?
If somebody, okay, we got a guy looking for bees now, and if he said maybe somebody's going to come in for llamas.
We've got goats.
Or goats.
So your thought is?
Let's wait till they bring us the goats, and then we'll.
So
we have them right now.
We have goats, then we don't have, it's not.
They haven't really applied. Well, no, I guess they were.
We have two goats.
That's true.
Two families with goats in their yard and a subdivision.
So right now, then, the way Ted looks.
Okay, you got goats and bees.
The way Ted looks at it, the way you look at it, then, we should explore whether we allow bees and whether we allow goats. And we're not going to talk about sheep or pigs or anything else.
Right, that's what I would do, just to keep it simple.
And then when somebody says, hey, I want to have a couple of pigs, then we talk about whether you have a couple of pigs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's reactionary, Bobby. I don't like that.
Yeah, to me it's either you do it or you don't.
Sometimes when you do, you know, when you put it in there, then you're just asking for it.
That's why we're not going to put it in there.
Louis, you have a thought?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it seems like it's kind of. I kind of go on the theory when you live in Rome, live like the Romans. If you live in a residential area, live like you're in a residential area. If you're kind of out in somewhat of a rural area, then that's where you kind of live that way. I think it's a little bit. If I bought in a residential area somewhere, I wouldn't really suspect that I'd have goats in my next door neighbor's yard. Now, if I bought out somewhere where they had an acre or so, I'd probably say, you know, I could see a goat. But if I lived up in Holiday Hills or if I lived down along Avenue B somewhere, I really wouldn't think that I'd be hearing the bay of goats in my neighbor's yard on a 100-foot wide lot. But I'm not, opposed to people having these things, but,
So the way I would interpret that, and I don't know if that's what you mean, it would be to leave it, let GAMP supply, and if it doesn't apply, don't allow it.
And if they're in violation of it, they're in violation of it.
Judy?
The only concern I have is and Louis, you brought this to light that I didn't even think about before, like in Mitchell Creek or the watershed areas are the manure controls. I mean, how much manure do you get from like two goats and four chickens?
I mean, not so much that either. It's just where they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to dispose of it somehow. If you have an acre or whatever, you can. But if you live in, a 55-foot lot on the lake, that is your backyard, and all that stuff is running in there, or in Mitchell Creek. That's where I'm concerned about.
You would say no, don't allow it because of concern, the environmental concern.
Yeah.
Or allow it, but only if
we can't control. If they land apply it, it's going to go into the watershed.
Okay, Mindy.
I missed the last meeting, and so I'm not understanding a lot about the GAMPs, but.
And I don't know if we understand a lot about it. Go ahead.
But what I kind of agree with the others that there are GAMPs in place. They do have site selection criteria for specific, I'll call them animals. They call them livestock, but bees not a livestock, so we're not going to go into that. We'll call them. And because of that, I think we have kind of some marching orders on what we need to do is that we can't allow them unless they fit the GAMPs, and then they can prove that the GAMP applies to them.
But see, that's where I'm confused, because I think you can allow them. I mean, the GAMP basically is there to protect.
You can be less restrictive than the GAMPs, but you can't be
more restrictive.
Right.
You can't be more restrictive, right? So you can be more open and allow it in districts that would not, the
right.
GAMPs would not otherwise protect.
Right. And do we really want to do that, though?
And that's I think what I'm kind
if
of polling is whether
Rick,
we want to do that.
There's nothing that says you can't have two beehives. What's to stop them? Nothing, right? It's not in the ordinance.
Yeah. Well, it's not in the ordinance, so it's not allowed.
Okay.
I don't know if you were done, Mindy. Or
but can't they prove that they have the right to farm under the GAMP?
They have to.
Yeah, but,
yes. They have to prove that.
Burdens
but, there's also the, but there's also the locational requirements. And the locational requirements are if there's X number of homes within an eighth of a mile, I think it was like 13 homes
right,
within
right.
an eighth of a mile, then you can't.
Right.
That's not considered an agricultural area anymore.
So they couldn't prove that they fit the agricultural light or whatever you're calling it, and so they couldn't have it in that area. And for us to say that be less restrictive, I don't think we should
right.
do that.
The one area that falls through the cracks are bees because they don't define them as livestock.
And I think there's another thing you guys are thinking about. If you have one chicken or one goat, it's a pet, it's not a farm. So you gotta what about dogs? We have more complaints with dogs than any farm animals.
Not in the last month we didn't.
Huh?
Not most months we don't.
Oh really?
Unless they go to the police department.
Oh, the police department.
Yeah. I mean they might go to the police department.
Or animal control.
So I mean if somebody wants to have a goat or two, those are pets. They're not farming. It's nothing to do with farming.
How many can they have?
I'll bet you they'll never harvest that goat.
How many can you have?
How many can you have?
How many pets?
There's no limit. You have as many pets as you want. Right? Well, we don't. As long as they're not running the business.
The health department.
The health department might. But you know, you're talking about waste.
Yeah.
Somebody could have.
Well, if that's if that's the case, then why should we do anything? If somebody's going to call a chicken a pet, then and they can do that, then why should we have anything in our ordinance?
Right. So when I hit my heifer for 4-H, I live next door to you in a subdivision. That's all right.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just.
That's the kind of stuff that's going to happen.
And we've had requests of that.
I'm not necessarily agreeing with Ted that they're pets. I think Ted's position, hey, if they're pets, then my response to this is I don't know that we need to do anything if they're pets. Somebody may say they're not pets, and I might agree with that. I'm not necessarily agreeing that they're pets. But
most of the zoning districts do not allow farm animals.
Right.
So that's right in there, no farm animals, no raising of farm animals.
Right.
So
Dan?
Where's that?
In the zoning
district. Most zoning districts, so.
I kind of would like to not go down another rabbit hole like short-term rentals. I feel like that's where we're headed if we do pursue this thing. I'd just as soon leave sleeping dogs lie. I mean, there's a few random instances, it sounds, that are individual things that if there's a horse in a subdivision, then the subdivision can definitely take action on. But there's something in there, covenants and restrictions, that defines that better than we do. As far as not being allowed, I would bet.
What comes first, the chicken or the egg? What comes first, the planning commission or the township board? Sort of saying we think that we want to establish policy that we're going to allow this, and so we're asking the planning commission to come up with a way to do that. So maybe this really should go to the board to see what the board thinks. Maybe we ought to punt it to them. And if the person with the bees wants to go to the board and gets the board on board, then maybe they send it back to us to look at it. Maybe that's
the
where I'm at.
Wish Godspeed, so like they did with the short-term rentals.
If they were to pursue the, if I was the bee person, I feel like I would pursue the MDA and be as educated as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so that if in the effect they are challenged, then they will either A, comply with GAMPS, and this will be a moot issue, and they can tell us to go away, or B, hang on to your horses, and you know you're not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Because effectively today, it's not allowed.
Right.
It's not in our ordinance.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
I don't know. I just feel like we're gonna another year down the drain.
Yeah, I guess my thought would be to see what the township board thinks about it,
okay,
and see if they want us to look at it or they don't want to look at it. That's what my thought would be.
Okay, two other real
it's
quick.
Called
things.
A punt. Yeah.
Right.
Yes,
Easttown. It went to the board last month. There was a question raised about the timing of their application. Unfortunately, I wasn't given a heads up on it, so I didn't have a chance to look up the information before the meeting. So they technically deferred it back to the Planning Commission for you guys to look at the timing of their application. However, once I found was able to research and find the information of their previous application dates and reapplication dates, we forwarded that to the township attorney, and the township attorney said they're fine. Just take it back to the board. So that's why it's not before you. They were compliant. And then lastly, in terms of complaints in October, we had one junk in the backyard, a business without a home occupation, someone living in a camper and a garage, three old junk cars without licenses, two general junk complaints, one complaint about range-free chicken running around the neighborhood, and one about roosters. Or a rooster, so
I heard it
crowing at 5:30 in the morning.
I heard a video.
So, and as you probably saw from our report on permits, we are doing quite well compared to last year, and we through the end of October have higher year-end numbers both for single-family dwellings and total permits. So, whatever comes the rest of the year is gravy compared to last year. So.
Okay. Any questions for Rick? Okay. Thank you. Now we'll go to new business. Then the first item on the new business is special land use 3-17 site plan review 7-17. The owners of the property are Jesse and Juliana Short. They are seeking approval to allow multiple accessory buildings with a total floor area that exceeds 150% of the footprint of the principal building. This is a time set for public hearing and action. It's my understanding that the principal structure or residence is 1,417 square feet, and there currently exists a garage of 1,344 square feet and a pole barn of 1,360 square feet, and the owners propose to build or to have a third accessory building of approximately 504 square feet. Section 205.6 of the zoning ordinance requires special land use approval pursuant to Section 602 and a site plan review pursuant to Section 820. And I guess first you are, the shorts are here, and if you'd like to come up and add anything to this at this point in time, or you're good until we hear from Mr. Brown if anybody has any questions. Either way, you'd like to do that. You're good right now? Okay. Okay. And I think from what we received that staff, the opinion of staff was that the proposed building is consistent with each of the review standards in both Section 602 and the site review standards in Section 820.7. You're recommending approval subject to the conditions of all applicable permits being obtained from the township in Grand Traverse County prior to construction. My understanding is the construction has, in fact, occurred.
Correct.
So will the permit still be necessary? Yes.
Because they didn't get
sort of after the,
they need a land use permit from us originally, and they would need to get that, yes.
Yeah, so those will still need to be done. Any questions by anybody on the Planning Commission about this proposal?
Might want to see if there's anybody from the audience.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yep, thank you. And yep, at this point in time, then I will open this up for public hearing. If anybody from the public would like to comment on this proposal, we'd like to hear from you. Seeing none, then I'll close the public hearing and take it back to the Planning Commission. And if there's no further discussion, I would entertain a motion at this point in time.
I'll make a motion to approve the special land use permit.
Site plan,
yes.
I'll second that.
Would this be consistent with the wording of the motion given in the staff report?
Correct.
With the condition?
With the condition. Yeah, so as I'm understanding it, it's been moved by Commissioner Grollo with support by Commissioner Henschel to approve special land use 3-17 and site plan review 7-17 subject to the condition that all applicable permits be obtained from the township in Grand Traverse County. Did I succinctly restate that? Okay. Any further discussion on that motion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion's carried. That's it. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for coming. You'll have to come back to the office. Yep, come back to the office when they're open. Okay. Thank you. And you're free to stay or leave. It's up to you. Next item on the agenda is Zoning Amendment 1-17. This is to adopt language to permit accessory dwelling units requiring amendment to which requires amendment to various sections of the zoning ordinance. This is a time set for public hearing and action. The proposed zoning amendment, as I understand it, would allow for accessory dwelling units in the LDR, MDR, HDR, and EBC, or East Bay Corner zoning districts, where there is public water and sewer service. These accessory dwelling units would not be uses for short-term, could not be used for short-term rental purposes. They should be a minimum of 250 square feet in size. The proposed amendment would amend the following sections in the zoning ordinance, that being Section 205, which requires approval of accessory buildings as an accessory dwelling unit by the zoning administrator. Addition of Section 234, which covers accessory dwelling units. Adding appropriate language to include accessory dwelling units in sections 401, which is for LDR, 402, MDR, 403, HDR, and 409 East Bay Corners. It would revise section 702 regarding parking requirements and requiring one additional parking space for attached accessory dwelling units and two additional parking spaces for detached accessory dwelling units. And it would add a definition of accessory dwelling unit in section 1402 and a residential equivalent a unit in, I think, 1419. Did I summarize that fairly succinctly?
Yeah. Not sure.
Did you have anything to add?
Report. Well, the only, as the chair noted to me before the meeting, there is a typo in Section 234 2A, where it refers to the rural residential and lakes area. We had talked about that at one time, and that should not be in there. That was an oversight on my part, not striking that out. And then instead of those two areas, HDR, high-density residential, should be in there. So on the, it should say accessory dwelling units shall be permitted, be a permitted use by right for those parcels meeting the minimum lot area requirements of the LDR, MDR, HDR, and EBC zoning districts subject to the owner-occupant first receiving an approved land use permit from the zoning administrator. So that just brings it in line with how it was noticed and what we talked about back in January, which was the last time.
Makes more sense.
Yeah, the last. Well, yeah, because some of those areas don't have water and sewer.
Water.
Right. Yeah.
That was my first question.
Yeah.
How are we gonna do that?
It's going to be flown in.
Flown in.
Only changes besides that, compared to what was seen back in January, was the reduction of the dwelling unit. Could be the accessory dwelling, it could be 250 square feet as a minimum instead of 400. There was some talk among the commissioners about that, as well as they cannot be used for short-term rentals. And then I made it clear on the parking in the section 702.1 that it's one for attached and two for detached, and these are all highlighted in yellow for you. So the goal here, obviously, is to provide additional options for people to have affordable housing in the area. Probably one of the most common questions we get is people who want to have a place for a mother or a grandmother or a father or a child or an older child or something like that, or even a longer-term rental perhaps, where they can earn a little income for their property as well. And so this is our attempt to address that. We've already adopted the pocket neighborhood residential district, which allowed the smaller housing developments. This would allow smaller accessory structures on existing properties, and at least in those areas where there's water and sewer. And staff supports the idea of this as a way of providing more affordable housing in East Bay Township and the Traverse City area generally.
And then I think the other thing that was in there, and I didn't mention it, was that it needs to be owner-occupied.
Yes.
In the main
right.
dwelling.
We're not, no absentee landlord stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're gone for a month on vacation, that's one thing, but they can't be living in Detroit and renting up here.
Okay. Well, as this is the time for a public hearing, I would invite any member of the public to come up now and open this up for public hearing. If you'd like to comment on this proposed zoning amendment, we'd be happy to hear from you. Is there anyone that would like to speak as to this?
Where is this thing?
The one thing you'll need to come, if you want to speak to it, you need to come up and then and give us your name and your address. Because, it's all right. It's being recorded and potentially television. So, yeah.
Hi, my name is Tina Wagner. I'm at 1672 North 4 Mile Road. Where is this exactly that you are talking about having this housing at?
I'll show you on the map over here. The zoning districts where it would be allowed, and it's only in the areas where there's water and sewer available, so it won't be necessarily all these areas I show you. The low density residential is the light yellow. Medium density residential is the orange. High density residential is the light green, I guess, for a lack of another word. And then East Bay Corners is this purple area. And then there's another area of low density residential up here. Within those areas, there are some parts that have water and sewer, some parts that don't. Most of the water and sewer is up this direction or over here. So, first of all, you have to be in one of these zoning districts. Second of all, you have to have water and sewer. Third of all, you have to be an owner-occupant. You can't be a rental property. And then if you meet those criteria and the other ones of the district, then you might be allowed to have an accessory dwelling unit, like a granny flat or a mother-in-law apartment or something like that on your property. There's a set of criteria in the ordinance, and if you meet all those, then you might be able to have that.
Oh, all right.
It's not universal. Yep. It's here and there, depending on specific locations.
I understand that better. I've been reading some of this, but I haven't been able to understand a lot of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
not
I don't
yet.
Know if I can right now, though.
Not right now.
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it when we're at the end. So, okay. Anyone else like to make any comment regarding this proposal? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing at this point in time and bring it back to the Planning Commission for discussion.
One question.
Yes.
Because of the changes from the mistakes of the zoning, does that have to be republished or anything? It's not big enough state mistake.
I'm sorry?
The having the wrong zoning
area. No, because the advertising had the correct. It was just...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a typo within the document. The advertising had the correct information.
Okay.
Yeah. Any comments one way or the other?
I'm good with it. I think we've been talking about it.
Mindy?
No, I'm good.
Sweetie?
When you say owner-occupied, does that mean that they get the homestead exemption? Because owner-occupied can be... What's the limit? 6 months? 8 months?
Whatever assessing.
Okay, so they have to have the homestead exemption. Has to be their primary.
Could you...
Under C?
Yes.
Under C, tell me.
2C.
Okay.
Look under 2C.
Okay, 2C. Owner something. Principal residence and tax exempt, so they have the homestead.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir, for clarifying that.
Right, I looked at that, too.
I apologize. It's been a while since I...
No. I appreciate you.
Yep.
Thank you,
Dan. If you ask questions, you don't know where you're going to get the answer from. As long as somebody has the answer.
Right. I must have missed that part. Right. Thank you.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Anything else? Ted?
I think it's a step in the right direction. Yeah.
Okay. Louis?
I agree.
Okay.
Make a motion.
Yeah, if anybody would like to.
Recommend approval to the township board for...
1.7.
Zoning Amendment 117.
Zoning Amendment 117 as presented.
With the corrections.
The corrections suggested by staff.
Right. I'll second.
Been moved by Commissioner Leonard with support by Commissioner Nimitz that we recommend to the Township Board approval of Zoning Amendment 1-17 as drafted with the revised language. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It is recommended to the Township Board.
Awesome.
Next item is then other business. We need to have a resolution of our meeting dates and time for the East Bay Charter Township Planning Commission. I think the resolution, why don't I just read the resolution and then we'll take a motion on it. And Judy, you'll need to complete this. Do you have a copy of that?
I have
okay,
two.
Okay, perfect. I'll let you can have that and you can have the original. Be it resolved that the Charter Township of East Bay Planning Commission of Grand Traverse County, State of Michigan, does hereby establish the following meeting dates for the year 2018, that the regular meetings of the East Bay Charter Township Planning Commission shall be as follows: January 9, February 6, March 6, April 3, May 1, June 5, July 10, August 14, September 4, October 2nd, November 13th, December 4th. Meeting will commence at 6:30 p.m. Special meetings will be at the discretion of the Planning Commission with due and proper notices required by law. And I presume all those dates are always the first Tuesday of the month unless there's an election going on.
Yeah, August and November we have elections next year.
And July we moved to the 10th because the previous one was right the day before the 4th of July. So
yeah, we didn't think anybody would want to meet July 3rd.
Yeah.
So we moved it to the 10th in July.
So I would entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
Make a motion to approve a resolution 2017-25.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Walters with support by Commissioner Leonard to approve resolution 2017-25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Resolution's approved. And then the next item on the agenda is public comment for anything that was on tonight's agenda. If you'd like to come and speak to us, we'd be happy to hear from you.
Hi. Again, my name is Tina Wagner. I'm on 1672 North 4 Mile. Please understand one thing about bees, and this is very important. A lot of people who want to have bees. If you do not take bee classes, you don't know about bees. Bees are funny creatures. They're wonderful but funny. When you have bees in very small residential areas, you have children, other people that know nothing about bees. Bees swarm, bees sting, bees hurt. You have a lot of Americans that are allergic to bees. If you are going to allow people to raise bees in small residential areas, you could be asking for death. Think about that before you start allowing it.
Okay.
Okay.
I think where it's at right now is to defer to the township board to see if they want to give us some policy direction, because I sort of look at that as a policy of what the township wants to have, and I think the township board establishes a policy, so I think it should start there. I understand what you're saying, and it's sort of a balancing again, because bees are also necessary for agriculture. And that's what,
bees all the time.
Yeah, and that's what supports us too. So it's a balancing act.
And raising bees, yeah. You need to have bees where they are pollinating. But having them where there's a lot of homes, mm-hmm. where you know that there are children, and there's so many people allergic to them. You know, bees, they need to pollinate. They need to be out and about. You can't gate them. You can't keep them. You can't spank them. You can't train them.
Sometimes people do try to spank them, I think.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So when you are, you know, looking at having them around a lot of houses, I think that you could possibly be asking for a lot of complications. Yeah, I feel bad because I know there's a lot of people who are really wanting to raise them because they want the honey for natural purposes. I hear a lot of my friends talk about it, and I just tell them all the time, I know a lot of people who do honey. Just let me know. I'll get you honey. You know? But I really don't think they belong in an area that have a lot of houses where there are kids. I think it's a bad idea.
Thanks, Tina. Thank you. Thanks for your thoughts. Anyone else like to make any comment? Okay. Seeing none, then we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Good
day. Hey, adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.